Think about the last argument you had with your partner. Maybe it started with something small, a forgotten errand, a misunderstood text, and suddenly you're fighting about everything from finances to who said what 3 years ago. What if the real problem isn't your compatibility or communication skills, but something far more fundamental, the way your brain is wired? Stan Tatkin's revolutionary approach to relationships has helped countless couples, including celebrities like Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, transform their partnerships by understanding one simple truth. Our brains evolved for survival, not love. And unless we learn to work with our neural circuitry rather than against it, we're fighting an uphill battle. Ever notice how quickly a loving moment can become a battlefield? You're having a pleasant conversation, then suddenly you're both defensive, angry, and can't remember what started it. This isn't random. It's your brain's survival system hijacking your relationship. Inside your skull, two systems constantly compete for control. Your primitives, the ancient survival parts of your brain, operate on a simple principle: detect threats, eliminate them, ask questions, never. Your ambassadors, the evolved, rational parts, want connection, empathy, and understanding. When your primitives sense danger, even imagine danger, they launch a military-style takeover in three stages. Red alert happens first. Your amygdala, constantly scanning for threats, sounds the alarm. Maybe your partner used a certain tone that reminds you of past conflicts, or their facial expression triggered an old wound. Your amygdala doesn't analyze whether the threat is real, it just reacts. Next comes ready the troops. Your hypothalamus floods your system with stress hormones. Your heart races, muscles tense, and you're prepared to fight, flee, or freeze. Finally, if things escalate, you reach all-out war. Your primitives completely take over while your ambassadors shut down entirely. You say things you don't mean, dredge up past grievances, and can't think clearly. Even after the visible fighting stops, those stress hormones keep circulating, leaving you both on edge for hours. The good news? Once you understand how your brain operates in relationships, you can actually rewire it to create the connection you've always wanted. What if your relationship had an invisible shield protecting it from life's chaos? That's essentially what a couple bubble provides, a sanctuary where both partners feel completely safe and prioritized. Consider Jenny and Bradley, who pride themselves on independence. At parties, they split up immediately, leaving each other feeling abandoned and resentful. They call it freedom, but it's actually fear of dependency dressed up as autonomy. Now look at Greta and Bram. They move through the world as a unit, not clingy, but connected. If Bram notices Greta looking uncomfortable, he smoothly intervenes. When she sees him trapped by a boar, she rescues him. They've made an unspoken pact. I will never leave you exposed. I've got your back. Creating this bubble requires radical prioritization. Your relationship comes before your career, your hobbies, even your need to be right. Our relating styles, formed in childhood, remain remarkably stable, creating predictable patterns that emerge especially under stress. Anchors experienced responsive caregiving as children. They maintain eye contact during difficult conversations, communicate honestly about feelings, and repair misunderstandings quickly. They're comfortable with both closeness and independence. Islands mistake their childhood adaptation to neglect for genuine independence. They learned to self-soothe and minimize their needs. They maintain emotional distance, but rarely recognize their deep existential loneliness. When asked about childhood, they often respond with, "I don't remember." Waves constantly seek connection, but often react with anger when they get it. They remember their childhood vividly, focusing on times their caregivers were unavailable. Unlike islands who disappear during conflict, waves create emotional turbulence. They acknowledge their dependency, but secretly believe they're too much for anyone to handle. Under stress, these styles become exaggerated. Islands retreat into logic, avoiding present emotions. Waves demand verbal reassurances and fixate on past wounds. The key is recognizing your style and your partner's, then using that knowledge to meet each other's needs rather than triggering each other's wounds. In successful relationships, partners function like expert caregivers who've memorized each other's instruction manual. They know exactly what soothes, what triggers, what delights, and what devastates their partner. We all carry 3 or 4 core vulnerabilities from childhood that have particular power to make us feel terrible. Take Peggy and Simon, both widowed and in their 60s. During a European vacation, Simon panicked when Peggy disappeared for coffee. His angry outburst triggered her withdrawal, leading to hours of painful silence. They were activating each other's deepest wounds. Both had been abandoned as children, reacting to ghosts from the past, not to each other. To become an expert on your partner, start by understanding yourself. Reflect on issues that have deeply affected you from childhood to present. What makes you feel angry, depressed, or rejected? You'll likely find 3 or 4 recurring themes. Then, do the same for your partner. Identify the underlying vulnerability behind their distress. Was it feeling unheard, controlled, abandoned, inadequate? But expertise isn't just about knowing what hurts, it's knowing what uplifts them. Peggy and Simon fail at this. He compliments her beauty when she craves recognition of her intelligence. She praises his smarts when he needs reassurance of his worth and lovability. They're scratching the wrong emotional itches. In contrast, Paul and Barbara have mastered this art. Paul knows Barbara fears abandonment, so he proactively reassures her. Barbara understands Paul needs trust and validation, so she demonstrates both consistently. They've made themselves indispensable by providing precisely what the other needs most. How you wake up and go to sleep might be the most underrated aspect of your relationship. These daily transitions, morning launchings and nighttime landings, profoundly impact your mental and physical health. Yet most couples treat them as logistical necessities rather than opportunities for connection. Noah and Isabella are busy parents who've grown unhappy together. The real problem? Isabella goes to bed early while Noah stays up late. They rarely see each other in the mornings. Research shows that coordinating sleep schedules and creating bedtime rituals dramatically increases relationship satisfaction. Rebecca and Vince face similar pressures but prioritize their rituals religiously. They put their children to bed together, then spend quality time without work distractions. They've created meaningful bedtime transitions, gazing into each other's eyes, reading aloud, expressing gratitude. They wake together and spend several minutes connecting before the day's chaos begins. They also have a welcome home ritual. They seek each other out before greeting anyone else, embracing until they feel each other physically relax. These rituals transform mundane transitions into relationship medicine. Near death, people rarely regret missed vacations. They lament relationship failures. The most powerful sustenance is having one person who truly cares and remains available. When Marcia loses her job, she and Brian face a crisis. Neither serves as the other's primary confidant. Brian believes some things should remain private, revealing island-like tendencies. What they lack is secure tethering, consistent connection, providing comfort through life's challenges. Childhood tethering was one way. We relied on parents. Adult tethering must be mutual, a two-way street of support and vulnerability. Islands resist this, believing they're self-sufficient. Waves desire it, but often want one-sided support. During courtship, our brains flood with dopamine and noradrenaline, activating addiction-related regions. Couples progressing beyond courtship develop more active serotonin production, helping them calm down together. Eden and David have vowed complete transparency. When Eden confesses judging an unkempt woman at the market, David responds with his own candid admission. When Eden tells David about a coworker coming on to her, he skips jealousy and focuses on her safety. This radical honesty eliminates trust issues. Partners in a couple bubble commit to being available 24/7, answering calls cheerfully anytime and waking each other for comfort without resentment. Your partner becomes your auxiliary brain, expanding capabilities and creating shared mental space where two minds work better than one. Your brain defaults to war, not peace. Success means learning to fight well, strengthening rather than destroying your bond. Prevent unnecessary conflicts by signaling friendliness first. A smile, gentle touch, or reassuring tone stops escalation before it starts. When your primitives activate, words become defensive garbage, requiring later repair. Sometimes the smartest move is simply stopping until your ambassadors return. Secure couples keep fights in the play zone, maintaining underlying friendliness like children in rough and tumble play. Your ambassadors remind you throughout, "We're okay. You're in love, remember?" Fighting well requires reading your partner's state through visual cues, eye moisture, flinches, lip movements. Distressed couples look away during arguments, depriving ambassadors of vital information. Text messaging is particularly dangerous without tone or facial cues. Smart fighting means taking responsibility for your partner's state and negotiating win-win solutions. When taking breaks, make them mutually acceptable with clear timeframes. Use positive influence from your partner's owner's manual instead of manipulating through threats. Your smart vagus nerve acts like a brake. Deep, slow breathing activates it, helping you stay connected when upset. When you notice primitives taking over, racing thoughts, tunnel vision, feeling right, pause and breathe. Better yet, recognize when your partner's primitives activate and help them calm down before war begins. Your partnership directly impacts physical health through allostatic load, the accumulated physiological cost of adapting to stress. Ralph and Lorraine spent 30 years threatening their relationship during conflicts with statements like, "If you don't quit yelling, you won't have anyone to yell at anymore." This constant threat environment manifested physically. Their children developed depression and anxiety, Lorraine experienced immune problems and depression, and Ralph suffered heart palpitations despite having no heart disease. When therapy helped them stop this threatening behavior, their health improved dramatically. Within a couple bubble, partners can be annoying but never threatening. Threatening behaviors, rage, violence, relationship threats, extended withdrawal, contempt, disgust, undermine fundamental security. Research shows contempt not only predicts divorce, but disrupts children's behavior and health. Since partners are neurologically wired together, threatening behavior harms both individuals and requires immediate elimination. But relationships should actively promote health, not just minimize stress. Susie and Tamara, both raised without physical affection, maintained a friendly but physically distant relationship. Despite never threatening each other, they suffered continuous anxiety and serious health problems: fibromyalgia, Epstein-Barr syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, diabetes. When they began sleeping together and cuddling nightly, their physical complaints quickly reduced. Physical touch is an essential human need with measurable neurobiological benefits. Partners should spend at least 10 minutes daily in close physical contact, hugging, holding, cuddling, hand-holding, kissing, or massage. The health benefits often appear within days. Most relationships fail not from bad intentions, but from ignoring fundamental principles. The good news? You constantly get opportunities to repair and reinvent your relationship, even with the same person. What's needed is a life-enhancing purpose based on true mutuality, full commitment, and accepting each other completely, irritating qualities and all. Your amygdala will keep scanning for threats. Your primitives will still hijack difficult moments. But armed with this knowledge, you can work with your brain rather than against it. Create rituals that strengthen your bond. Become an expert on your partner's vulnerabilities and joys. Fight without breaking connection. Use physical touch as medicine. Build a couple bubble that protects you both from chaos. This isn't about perfection or conflict-free living. It's about recognizing when primitives take over and consciously inviting ambassadors back. Your brain may be wired for survival, but with intention and practice, you can rewire it for love. Thriving couples aren't problem-free. They've learned to navigate their neural circuitry together, creating partnerships that heal rather than harm, energize rather than deplete, and provide meaning beyond individual achievement.